When you hire a really brilliant assistant, at first everything just feels like magic.
Oh, yeah. It's life-changing at first.
Right. I mean, they're incredibly smart. They book your flights flawlessly. They, organize your calendar perfectly, but then you get comfortable.
Little too comfortable, usually.
Exactly. You start asking them to do literally everything. Like you ask them to handle your complex taxes, walk your dog, troubleshoot your home Wi-Fi, negotiate a contract, all at the exact same time.
Right.
And eventually, I don't care how smart they are, they just crack. They burn out. Next thing you know, they're booking your dog on a flight to the
Yeah,
IRS.
the wheels just completely fall off.
Totally. And the fascinating thing is, this exact kind of burnout doesn't just happen to humans. It is currently one of the single biggest problems in artificial intelligence.
It really is. It's a huge bottleneck right now.
Yeah, because we are moving away from that era of the single, exhausted, know-it-all AI and entering the age of the coordinated AI team.
Which is a massive paradigm shift.
It really is. And for you listening, our mission today is to explore exactly how this shift is happening. We've got our hands on a really fascinating, unreleased draft chapter from a Koenig AI Academy training course.
Yeah, this is hot off the presses, dated April 30, 2026.
Right. And the course is titled Multi-Agent Orchestration with Vertex. It's built entirely around the newly launched Gemini Enterprise Agent Platform, or GAP.
Which, just for context, only hit general availability a week prior to this draft on April 23.
Exactly. So we are looking at the bleeding edge of how enterprise AI is being structured. And, if you've ever had an AI completely lose the plot or just make things up when you asked it to do too many things at once, well, this deep dive reveals exactly why that happens.
And more importantly, how the tech world is finally fixing it.
Okay, let's unpack this because in the AI world, that specific kind of burnout I mentioned with the assistant, it has a real name, right?
It does, yeah. Industry insiders call it a correlated hallucination.
Correlated hallucination.
Right. It's essentially a systemic failure. Think about a single customer support AI that's being forced to cover, I don't know, account management, billing, and technical support all by itself.
That's just way too much.
Exactly. It accumulates too many tools, its active instruction length gets incredibly bloated, and eventually the AI just kind of collapses under its own weight.
So it's basically the death of the what the Koenig Academy course calls the fragile 20-tool monolith.
Yes, the fragile monolith. And their proposed solution is what they call decomposition.
Decomposition. Okay, so taking that giant single AI brain and splitting it up into a team of specialist sub-agents.
Precisely. So instead of one AI trying to do everything,
Yeah.
you have a planner whose only job is to break down a question.
Right.
And maybe a retriever whose only job is to fetch data.
But wait, I'm honestly a little confused on the mechanics here because, I mean, an AI is basically just code, right? Code, algorithms, raw processing power.
Sure, at a fundamental level.
So shouldn't giving it more data and more tools make it smarter? Like, why is giving an AI 20 tools actually a bad thing? Doesn't more context usually mean better answers?
You would think so, right? But it's actually an issue with how they pay attention, literally.
How they pay attention.
Yeah, it's not a hardware limitation or like a lack of computing power. It's a mathematical limitation of the attention mechanism inside the neural network itself.
Oh, interesting.
To really understand this, we have to look at what happens under the hood when a single model has 20 tools. Every single time it processes your prompt, it doesn't just, read the words.
Okay.
It has to evaluate the probability of using all 20 of those tools against every single word in your prompt simultaneously.
Wait, simultaneously. So it's constantly second-guessing itself with every single tool in its entire toolbox.
Exactly. Every single time it generates a word, the cognitive load, the sheer mathematical complexity of those probability weights, it just skyrockets.
That sounds exhausting just to think about.
It is. The instructions in its active memory start bleeding together. So it might accidentally crosswire the billing database tool with, say, the password reset instructions.
Just because they're sitting next to each other in the code.
Exactly. Just because their descriptions are near each other in its context window.
Yeah.
By dividing the labor, you enforce strict mathematical boundaries.
Okay, that makes sense. But the training material clarifies something really interesting. These new sub-agents, like the planner and the retriever, they're actually built on the exact same underlying software class, right?
Right, yeah. They're both what the platform calls 80K agent instances.
80K meaning agent development kit.
Correct. You can think of it as the standard engine block for these models. It is the identical underlying brain. The difference isn't brain power, it's focus.
So they have the exact same engine, but completely different job descriptions.
Right. Strictly different instructions and completely different tool sets.
Okay.
The planner doesn't even have the code required to search the knowledge base.
It just literally can't do it.
Exactly. It only knows how to plan. It decomposes the question and delegates. And the retriever doesn't know how to plan. It only knows how to execute a search and return an answer.
So you're taking all that overwhelming noise out of the room so they can just concentrate on the one task in front of them.
Exactly. It's about clarity.
But if we are breaking this one giant AI into a team of highly focused specialists, well, someone has to act as the manager, right? Someone has to stand in the middle and hand out the assignments.
Right. You need coordination.
So if they're all separate brains, who is actually running the team?
Well, the platform supports two completely distinct ways to manage this.
Mm-hmm.
The Koenig materials outline these as orchestration patterns.
Okay, orchestration patterns.
Yeah, and they are deterministic orchestration and generative orchestration.
All right, let's start with deterministic. How does that manager operate?
Deterministic orchestration is rigid. It is entirely human defined.
Like hard-coded.
Exactly. A human engineer writes the exact routing logic in the code itself, using specific building blocks that the GA platform provides. Things called sequential agent or parallel agent.
So step A always goes to step B.
Yep. Step A goes to step B, then step B goes to step C. It runs like a digital assembly line. It is perfectly predictable every single time.
Okay, that makes sense. And generative orchestration, because just the word generative sounds a lot looser.
It is a lot looser. With generative orchestration, you are handing the management job entirely over to the AI orchestrator itself.
Wait, really? The AI makes the management choices?
Yeah. The AI uses a built-in function called transfer to agent. It actually reads the user's input and then dynamically decides at runtime who gets what task.
Oh, wow.
It decides if multiple subagents need to be invoked and in what exact order, all on the fly.
Okay, so it's making management decisions dynamically.
Yeah.
Now, as someone who might be, you know, paying the cloud computing bill for this, that sounds terrifying.
It can definitely be daunting.
Because the materials explicitly state that generative orchestration has non-deterministic costs. Meaning you have absolutely no idea how many subagents it's going to call before it finally finishes a task.
Right. The bill can vary.
Plus, it says it's more susceptible to jailbreaks if the instructions are weak. So why wouldn't a business just stick to deterministic 100% of the time just to protect their wallet and keep things secure?
It's a fair question. But if we connect this to the bigger picture, the reality is that the real world just isn't predictable enough for purely deterministic pipelines.
You mean human behavior is too messy.
Exactly. Let's look at the trade-off. Deterministic routing is fantastic for stable data pipelines. Like, say, generating a nightly sales report. You know exactly what data is coming in and exactly what steps need to happen every single night.
Right. It doesn't need to be creative.
But it is incredibly brittle under changing inputs. Let's say a user submits a support ticket that just says, thanks, the previous step worked. A deterministic planner, because that is rigidly hard-coded, might still pass that ticket to the retriever to search for a solution and then to the biller to check the account.
Because that's just what the flowchart says to do.
Right, because that's what the code says. It wastes time and resources executing completely meaningless steps.
So the rigid system lacks common sense. It just blindly follows the track?
Exactly. Generative orchestration, on the other hand, is designed for dynamic workflows, like customer support triage. If routing decisions depend on the nuanced, messy, unpredictable content of a human being's input, only a generative orchestrator can handle all those countless variations.
That makes a lot of sense.
And the mechanism for how it does this is actually brilliant. It uses probability matching.
Probability matching. How does that work?
So when a user asks a question, the generative manager converts that question into a mathematical vector, essentially a string of numbers that represents the intent of the question. It then compares that intent vector against the descriptions of all of the available subagents. It mathematically calculates which agent is the best fit for the job.
And then it just routes it over.
Exactly. It uses that transfer to agent tool to route it. It adapts to the reality of the conversation in real time.
Okay, but wait. If the conversation is dynamic and I am being transferred from, say, the planner to the retriever to the biller.
Yeah.
Do I have to explain my problem three different times? Like, if they're completely separate brains, how do they know what I just said to the last guy?
Oh, that is a crucial problem in multi-agent systems.
Because there's nothing worse than repeating yourself to three different customer service reps.
Exactly. And the platform solves this with a feature called the memory bank.
The memory bank.
Right. In older systems, if you passed a user to a new AI, you had to pass the entire raw transcript of the conversation along with them.
Which is probably a lot of data.
It is incredibly expensive and slow. But the memory bank distills your long-term conversation history into low-latency memory profiles.
Oh, okay. Like a summary.
Kind of.
Yeah.
It's a shared corporate memory for the entire agent network. So the moment the planner delegates your request to the retriever instantly accesses your memory profile.
So it already knows the context.
It already knows your user preferences, your context, and what you just said 2 seconds ago
mm-hmm.
without having to process the entire raw transcript.
That is so smart. Okay, so they have this shared memory, and the generative manager is mathematically figuring out who to pass tasks to.
Right.
But practically speaking, if these AI agents are dynamically calling each other on the fly, deciding at runtime who needs to talk to whom,
yeah.
how do they securely locate each other? Like, if the planner suddenly decides it needs the retriever, how does it actually connect to it without exposing its internal code?
That brings us to the infrastructure layer.
Yeah.
And this is a big part of the Koenig chapter. Mm-hmm. It introduces two essential components for running this in production,
mm-hmm.
the agent registry and the agent gateway.
Okay, here's where it gets really interesting for me. Because historically, if you had two pieces of code that needed to talk, you hard-coded a connection. You imported the script directly.
Right. Python imports, things like that.
But they aren't doing that here. So instead of hard-coding a connection, they just ask the registry. So it's basically like looking up a job title in a corporate directory rather than walking to a specific employee's desk.
Yes, that is a perfect analogy. The agent registry is a massive catalog, and it's managed by Google Cloud Platform. Or GCP.
Which is essentially the underlying digital real estate where all this lives.
Exactly. Agents discover their sub-agents exclusively by name via this registry.
By name.
Right. The planner doesn't have the retriever's code inside it. It doesn't import the retriever's file at all. It literally just sends a request to the registry saying, I need an agent named Retriever. Please pass this message along.
Wow. Which means discovery is entirely separate from implementation.
Exactly. And the huge benefit of that separation is independent versioning.
Oh, meaning you can update them separately.
Exactly. You can take the retriever offline, update its entire knowledge base, upgrade its core AI model, push it back live, and you never have to touch a single line of the planner's code.
Because the planner's just looking for the job title in the directory. It doesn't care who the specific employee is as long as they can do the job.
Spot on.
But wait. If the planner asks the registry for the retriever, does the planner ever actually know the retriever's underlying code?
No, never. It is entirely a black box.
A black box.
Yes. And this raises a really important point about governance and security. Having these agents operate as black boxes is a massive benefit for auditability.
How so?
Because the owner of the registry controls which agents are visible to who, and the registry logs show exactly who called whom, without the agents tangling up each other's code bases.
I see.
And then you have the second component, which is the agent gateway.
Right, the gateway.
While the registry acts as the corporate directory, the gateway acts as the security bouncer.
The bouncer, I like that.
Yeah, it enforces IAM-backed access policies.
IAM, meaning Identity and Access Management.
Exactly. It's essentially the system checking their digital ID badges before letting them through the door. The gateway verifies if the planner actually has the security clearance to invoke the retriever in the first place.
Okay, isolating these agents into secure black boxes checking digital ID badges, that all sounds incredibly secure.
It is very robust.
But practically speaking, if an agent fails, it's failing invisibly, right? Because it's a black box. So how do engineers actually troubleshoot a conversation happening internally between two machines at the speed of light?
That is the big challenge. And to solve that black box problem, the platform provides a forensic tool called the Agent Observability Console.
Okay, so it's like a digital autopsy room.
That's essentially exactly what it is. It generates a visual trace of the execution within seconds.
Oh, wow.
And every node in the trace is clickable. A human engineer can open it up and see the exact input and the exact output of every single model call and every single tool call across the entire network of agents.
That is wild. And, you know, the Koenig materials list some specific common failure patterns that engineers have to look for in these traces. And honestly, they are fascinating because they sound exactly like human workplace dysfunctions.
They really do. The parallels are funny.
Like the first one they mention is silent tool failure.
Oh, yes.
This happens when a tool, like maybe a database search function, just fails. But instead of raising an error alarm, it just returns an empty string.
Right. It just says nothing.
It's exactly like an employee who makes a huge mistake, hides it, and just smiles blankly at their boss.
That's a great way to put it.
And the AI manager, the planner, just accepts the blank smile, treats the empty string as a perfectly valid result, and confidently continues the task with absolutely no data.
It's a classic failure mode in multi-agent systems. The model assumes silence means everything is fine.
Which is so dangerous.
Very. Because mathematically, an empty string is still a successful return of data. It just happens to be zero data.
Yeah.
That's why the training explicitly advises developers to force tools to return an explicit no results found message. That way, the AI actually comprehends that a failure occurred.
That makes a lot of sense. Then there's another one called query transformation.
This one is always a headache.
Yeah. This is when the planner gets a little too creative. Say a user asks for, you know, account statements from Q3 2025 specifically.
Okay.
The planner decides to rephrase that to be helpful before handing it to the retriever, and it simplifies it to just account statements.
Right.
It completely strips out the necessary search parameters. It's like playing a terrible game of corporate telephone.
Which is exactly why the planner's instructions have to be tightened to pass the questions verbatim in certain pipelines. Otherwise, it synthesizes the data before it even actually has the data.
Right, it's jumping the gun. And my absolute favorite is the simultaneous firing bug.
Oh, that one is pure chaos.
It is. If you don't explicitly write an instruction that tells the generative orchestrator to, quote, wait for the result, it acts like a panic middle manager.
Yeah, it just freaks out.
It will just rapidly fire off three delegation requests to the retriever all at once before the retriever has even answered the first one.
But what's fascinating here is the final, most complex error they detail in the course, and that's infinite delegation.
Oh, this is the nightmare scenario.
It really is. So the planner calls the transfer to agent function and hands the task to the retriever.
Okay.
But let's say the retriever's core instructions were written too loosely. It receives the task, gets confused about its role, and uses its own transfer to agent tool to hand the task right back to the planner.
Oh my God. Like, I don't know what to do with this. You take it back.
Exactly.
And the planner goes, no, I delegated it to you. You do it. Just two machines arguing at the speed of light.
Precisely.
Yeah.
And in a cloud environment where you literally pay per computation, an infinite loop between two AI models could rack up an astronomical bill in a matter of minutes.
Right, because it's just ping-ponging back and forth millions of times.
Exactly. But the platform has a built-in safeguard for this. It's called agent anomaly detection.
Okay.
It acts as an automated watchdog. It constantly monitors the reasoning patterns across the system.
Oh, so it's looking for those loops.
Right. Instead of a human engineer having to write custom code to try and catch these edge cases, the anomaly detection is designed to flag and kill these infinite handoffs automatically within just two or three hops.
Wow. So it's a built-in supervisor for the supervisors. That is brilliant.
It's essential for enterprise stability, really.
Well, okay, we have covered a massive amount of ground here, unpacking this unreleased Koenig AI Academy chapter. I mean, we've gone from the fragile 20-tool monolith to teams of focused sub-agents.
It's a lot to take in.
It is. We explored deterministic versus generative managers using probability matching, corporate directories for AI discovery, and digital autopsy rooms to track silent failures and infinite loops.
We really went deep.
We did. So what does this all mean for you listening? Whether you are prepping for a high-level meeting on enterprise AI strategy, or you are just someone using AI tools in your daily life, understanding this architecture actually changes everything.
It completely changes how you interact with it.
Exactly. You have to realize that you are increasingly talking to a network of agents rather than a single brain.
That's the key takeaway.
You aren't just typing a command into a calculator anymore. You are submitting a request to a digital corporation. And you have to interact with it accordingly. You have to understand that your request is going to be routed, it's going to be decomposed, and delegated by an invisible manager referencing a shared memory profile.
It requires a fundamental shift in perspective, moving from thinking about how to write the perfect, single prompt, to thinking about how to design and interact with entire systems.
Absolutely. Which brings us to a final thought I want to leave you with, something to mull over long after this deep dive ends. We are already looking at a platform where a planner agent can dynamically search a registry directory, find a retriever agent it has literally never spoken to, and assign it tasks on the fly to solve your problem.
Which is incredible on its own.
It is. So how long until an AI manager is handed a complex problem, realizes it's missing a specific capability in the corporate directory, and simply decides to design, code, and register a brand new specialized subagent entirely on its own?
Just writes a new employee into existence.
Exactly. How long until the assistant can just try to do your taxes and fix your car, but actually spins up a digital accountant and a digital mechanic to do it for them, solving problems we humans didn't even anticipate?
It's the logical next step in an autonomous ecosystem, really.
And hey, maybe that way, the assistant finally gets to take a vacation instead of burning out. Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive. We'll see you next time.